fighting fury, we're from Tigerland. In any weather you will see us with a grin, risking head and skin. If we're behind, then never mind, we'll fight and fight and win, for we're from Tigerland. We never weaken till the final siren's gone.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Big Footy Tiger Cast Monday Night Live weekly show. Hope you're doing very well from wherever you are around the country. Back to regular background this week. Back home, no longer poolside or with a mocktail or a cocktail in hand. Back to the harsh reality of the world, but always good to be back home, I guess. CB, how are you, mate? Welcome.
Good. And just want to reiterate, after a loss, I'm here. EJ is not. Brock. Brock. Brock's not a runner. I'm going to put his face in a milk carton soon. I'm not sure where he's gone. So Grok,
I don't know if I let it. Well, I don't think it can cause any issues. But I think so. Grok's got jury duty. So he's having to hand over some work stuff. I guess that comes up at the last minute. And EJ is he could be in groupie's dungeon. We're not quite sure. No, he's away on a work junket. We'll call it a junket. Won't call it a work trip. Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. So we'll be on board tonight, taking everyone through it all. But hope everyone else is doing well from wherever they are. Look, before we get talking about the Richmond stuff, we do have to talk about the North Melbourne Death Ride chart, which I haven't had time to update graphics, so I don't have anything prepared visually. But they had a 9-point loss to St Kilda, which was cutting it awfully close as well. I was trying to keep updated with it whilst away, and it seemed like it was touch and go for a little bit. But then I saw the Tiger faithful erupt on Twitter once the Saints got over the line. I think they've lost Paul Curtis as well for a week with the suspension. I think they came out tonight. Zerha didn't get cited for whatever he did. And there is some serious doubt on Nick Larkey as well with the fitness of him. So their remaining games, they've got the Giants this week, which I would imagine CB should be a loss for North Melbourne. They've got us, which is a genuine 50-50, if we're being real. And then they finish with Adelaide, who are one of the informed teams of the comp. So it feels like that pick 2 and 3 is very, very close to being fully secured. There is still a chance they would have to win at least 2 of these last 3 games to get above Essendon without them winning. I think it's Essendon that are next in line. There you go. Lucky done for the year. I did see something else where he came out and said that he thought he was still a chance, but yeah, maybe not. But good to have those picks all but sewn up.
It's delightful. And thank you, St Kilda. You've done the Lord's work for us over the weekend to help us secure. So not only have we avoided the spoon, but we've guaranteed pick 2 either way. So, which is tremendous. I guess the only concern is, and I think it's an absolute bullshit ambient claim that West Coast Eagles are trying to get a priority pick. So in reality, they're trying to get a priority pick and compensation for Allen should he go. We'll see them get pick 2 anyway. So basically they're trying to get like picks 1, 2, possibly, you know, then another top 10 pick or something, which is just outrageous given they won a flag within the last decade. And there are clubs out there that haven't won a flag for 60 years and aren't asking for these things. So yeah, no. Sorry.
Surely that's the benchmark in terms of asking for assistance, that if you've won a flag in the last 10 years, it's like too bad.
Correct. This is a club. This is a club that is in the top 2 or 3 wealthiest clubs in the land. They have a very good track record. They got Graham for nothing. You know, Baker. That they chose to give us first round picks for Baker. That was, you know, they wanted him, so they paid a fair price. It's on them. If players want out, I mean, why should the rest of us pay up for them having players wanting out? That's too bad, too bad, too sad.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Nick, I don't think we're at risk of finishing higher than the Bombers. I mean, St Kilda and North Melbourne may very well be winnable games, but I don't think we'd be able to do enough damage to get above them. But look, to your point that you touched on just earlier as well, I think it's definitely something to acknowledge that we have officially avoided the wooden spoon for 2025, which I think, I don't want to come across that we're celebrating it, because we still haven't had a great year results-wise, but we also know where we're at as a team. So it wasn't, we've actually exceeded expectations. But very good not to win the spoon when at the start of the year, I think we all probably thought we were odds on to get it.
Well, no. Again, we're going to have that crystal ball episode where we go back to our predictions. We all thought 3 to 5 years. A lot of us were at odds with the media, everyone saying we weren't going to win a game. We didn't think our list was that bad. We still had, I think, at the start of the season, what, 11 premiership players. And like I said, it's not as if they grow two left feet and two left hands. Like, they can still play football. And we might be finishing the year on 6 and could have finished the year on 8 if we hadn't coughed up a couple of games. So if we had won 8 games, we were only 2 games or 3 games out of the top 8. So possibly playing for a wild card final. So so we've had a pretty good year. We just need to win one more, just tops off the year. If we can just get 6, I think that's a really – we've gone overs, actually. Probably eagle. In golfing terms, we've probably got an eagle, not an albatross.
Which of the next 2 games, in your mind, is the most winnable?
North.
I feel like they're getting to a point where they're about to just shut up shop completely.
Well, Saints are going to fight it out because they've had a shocking year, so they're not going to lie down for us. There's going to be one of those ones they're going to try and fight out for the year, but, yeah, I think beyond this point, clubs will start putting blokes out for surgery and looking after them a bit too. If there's a way they can get their preseason set up, they'll do that.
The only annoying thing is they get Jerry back for the game against us, the Kangaroos, which is a bit annoying. But
yeah, we played him last time too and should have beat him.
But, yeah, it's interesting nonetheless. Now, fitness report, for some reason I thought we were going to see something today, CB, but we haven't seen anything. But we can talk briefly about last week's one, I suppose. Obviously, we had Harry Armstrong come back in and play senior football this weekend, which was good. Annoyingly, Kane McAuliffe, we had heard that he had re-injured his quad, and that seems to have been reality. So he's going to miss another 4 to 6 weeks. Still could be a sneaky chance for VFL finals, wildcard, whatever's happening in that space. But yeah, not good. And then the Josh Smiley one is probably the one that everyone's talking about, I guess, as he still didn't get through training. Like, this is where I'm confused, CB. He's not actually injured. So he's not had a hamstring issue for quite some time now. So, like, if you're just needing to get fit and in the right body shape, what part of that did you have to fail to not be able to play the game? Like, surely playing managed minutes in the VFL could serve as part of the conditioning process. Does that make sense, or am I off the market? I'm just a little bit confused by his one, if I'm being honest.
I'm just wondering how much I put out there in a delicate way that doesn't upset people or put us under the bus, but should I say a little bit of what we've heard in a gentle way?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll say this. He's an 18-year-old boy, to be a man, earning north of $300,000 a year. Yeah?
I don't know what the rookie contract, well, the first-year contracts
are. He's on pretty good coin, whatever it is. He's a young bloke earning better than average wages that the ordinary worker in Australia would get. It's fair to say what we've heard is he's just a young bloke who's made a couple of poor decisions off the field during recovery and rehab. Would that be a fair call?
I think that would be somewhere about the mark. Yeah, look, I want to see him play this week, though. I'm not saying AFL level, but I think they've got to get him out there. I do think now that I think the race is done for him to play AFL this year. I just don't think it's achievable unless they're going to do a Harry Armstrong type situation where he plays one VFL game and then comes in. I just can't see it happening now, to be honest. But
I'm not saying it feels like the club's being dishonest with us, but it kind of does feel like that. but the reality is, look, it's only what we've heard. Might be total bullshit. I don't think it is. But the reality is there's a couple of maybe a bit of a maturity issue with the boy that they're going to work on. He's an 18-year-old kid as well. So let's cut him some slack. He's got a long career ahead of him. And hopefully the older heads are just putting him on the right track and we see him sooner rather than later.
And I'm definitely not writing off the pick at all at this stage whatsoever. Like, for me, still the overarching thing for me is he's 195. He could actually be taller. There's a really strong chance he's grown taller since being drafted. So it could be 196. Hypothetically, 197, maybe that's a stretch, but he's a big boy. trying to run midfield numbers at that size is not easy to do. I think Cripps might have been the last of a similar type of size. I don't think he nailed it straight off the bat either. So there's definitely a big learning curve for him to have with his body and, dare I say, even the club, because I can't remember the last time the club would have had someone of his size playing a midfield role, having to do a midfield program. So there's probably a lot of learnings going on for a lot of him and the club, but definitely not writing him off just yet. I think.
Can I just say, someone's put something out there. It's not drugs. It's not drug related. I want to put that out there very, very clearly. Nothing to do with illicit substances or drugs. I'm putting that right out there.
No. He'll be fine. He's going to be fine.
And someone else made a comment.
196 is a stretch. 197 is a bigger stretch, Nick. A bigger stretch.
Someone's saying trainer should be dropped. We sort of highlighted in last week's show, and Uze said in his presses as well, Luke Trainer's currently playing with a hip complaint. And I think if your injury situation wasn't as bad as what it is, I dare say he would have had a breather by now.
But, and I think I read somewhere that we only had like 3 fit players available, AFL players available to pick from. So even if we wanted to rest him, we kind of don't have much choice at the moment if they're not in the right position. And I think you can tell though, CB, to your point, that he was meant to be sub 1 or 2 weeks ago, but then it got flipped on its head with some late changes. So he's definitely... Tranto. Yeah, so he's definitely sort of struggling through the rest of the year, but we just don't have the numbers on the park to be able to get him back in. And that's just the reality of it, unfortunately. But we'll talk about the Tigers-Suns game quickly. There's not a lot to write home about. Now, for disclosure, I didn't watch this live. I was poolside for this one, but I have watched it since. And maybe watching it post knowing the results takes the edge off a little bit, because I kind of didn't feel as bad about it as what I might have felt while watching it live, if that makes sense. But 16-11, 107 to 2-11, 23. So we lost by 84 points. And look, I don't want to sugarcoat losing by 84 points is not great. Kicking 2-11 is equally not great either. But I just felt like that in the first 2 quarters, at least, I actually felt we were really in it from a ball movement perspective and intent perspective. It was quite literally just our lack of finishing the goals that was letting us down. If we had converted the chances that we should have converted, it would have been a much closer game. The confidence is up. And then who knows what happens in the second half. But by the time the second half rolls around, Gold Coast are humming. And they were. They were going beautifully. So I don't want to take credit away from them. But by the time that all happens, everyone's decimated with confidence because no one's kicked a goal. And they kind of just shit on us from there. But I really do think that the first half, we actually played reasonably well. We just didn't kick straight. And by contrast, you got Ben King slotting goals from 45 on the boundary line. And, you know, when they weren't missing the hard shots and we were missing all the really easy shots. And that's kind of been the story of our year. So it's definitely something we need to address in the off season. We need to, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Look, I don't fully buy into it being Newman's fault. And I don't fully like or agree with the, he was a defender. How could he be a forward coach? I don't buy that because he's been out of the game for so long. It kind of means nothing now where he played as a player. We just need to get better. And like, what's frustrating, CB, is you read training reports of Jonty Fall smashing home goals from 50 metres just with ease. And then come game day, not just him, but everyone just struggled. And speaking of Jonty, him going down, CB, didn't help either in the first, 4 or 5 minutes. And thankfully, the club have knocked it on the head. That's not ACL, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, that's the key thing that comes out of it is it's not a big long-term injury, which is fantastic. So the kid's had a fantastic year. We've had a really good taste of what he's going to bring in the future. So unfortunate, but I'll take the glass half full and say, well, thank God it wasn't worse. So
terrific. And to Peter's point as well, the tackling was probably the other big part that I'd noticed as well, that our tackles were getting broken so easily. Like Matt Round, plays like that were just bursting through. And it's something that was a bit disappointing for me that we weren't able to stick our tackles. But I definitely think that the ball movement and things like that was not so bad in the first half. The second half, we did fall away pretty bad, unfortunately. But look, Small silver lining, we didn't lose by over 100 points. It still wasn't the Gold Coast biggest win for the year. And I know that's really, really clutching at straws, but I definitely didn't feel as aggrieved about it as if I might have if I was watching it live. So, and to Jay Tiger's point, yeah, Gold Coast at home is a bloody tough trip now. What was once maybe a 60-40 prospect is now a 95-5 prospect Gold Coast way. They're very, very good. But CB, your thoughts?
Well, I had my dad's 93rd birthday and I was in Bairnsdale on the weekend celebrating with my father. So given I didn't get a chance to watch much of the game at all, I thought I'd go to the next best thing. And I went to the Big Footy Tiger Cast board. And what I've done to get analysis of the game is I've actually got the game day thread up right now. And we're going to go through some posts on the Big Footy Tiger, on the Big Footy board, the Richmond board, and get some game day contributions to see how the game went for Richmond. So I'll start with this post from Tiger Saab. Another shitful broadcast with rude commentary. Fuggan in the plug. Fuggan is the plug in the back. Piss poor. So we're off to a good start there. And that was maybe, on page two.
Maybe we won't name the posters to be safe.
Oh, I'll give him a bit of notoriety. So then if I skip forward to page 11, and I'll go to post two. Where are you? Ah, this one. Why are we still watching Shit Coast? So at this stage, I learned in 11 pages in that the West Coast Melbourne game was still up being broadcast. And then my man, he won't mind if I say his name, Sunshine Boy chips in beyond that point with this post here. He comes in and says, why are they wearing pink or is it fuchsia? So at that stage, I knew the teams were on the ground, which was fantastic.
The game day threads, it is an interesting place to be.
Next one from Layla Goat. Who the F is Jai Farrar? So now, that was a good one there.
I thought the same thing, to be fair, because he kicked three goals on us. He didn't play against us last time, I'm sure of it.
This one was written in capitals by a poster called Grokadoc. So, and his post in capitals was, you bastards, pay it. So I'm not quite sure what that was all about. Then, where are we? Three. So as you can see, I'm getting a lot of insights out of this game so far. Pictures of alcohol cans.
Now, I think with that one from Grok, I believe there were quite a few players that had made some good tackles and players were able to hold onto the ball for a long period of time before disposing that wasn't awarded. I'll back Rock in there.
Well, you said that King was slotting him from defence, yeah, from the pie stands.
He kicked a ripper from that side from the boundary, must be said, and it was pretty blustery as well.
Well, Groupie said, "F that King is a spud," so he had a different opinion to you. Then we had a page 15.
That was for the Morris tackle. Yeah, okay, for the Morris tackle. Yeah, makes sense.
Where are we? I go to this one here. Drunken Wookie. F. We are effed. Then he's got another 4,000 posts on crap umpiring against us.
Nah, valid. Back it in. Back it in.
There's lots there. All right. I go forward. Page, where are we? I'm flying. Oh, this is a beauty. This one's great. Lord of the Wings.
Oh.
Trainer is soft as shit. Now, Lord of the Wings is someone who says he can spot talent at 14 years of age. So that's his opinion on Trainer.
Well, don't worry about the usernames for the next lot. Just...
All right. But then there's one from a moderator. This was exciting. He goes, woo, we scored. So that must have been a point at that stage because I know we hadn't kicked a goal. And that's pretty much the analysis for the first quarter. How do I go?
Look, it was about right. It was about right. I'm not sure the other three quarters need analyzing. They're all pretty much the same, aren't they? It was, I know we talk about it a little bit, but not kicking goals in every quarter is a bit of a bugbear. And I know we had a very, very, very inexperienced key forward line. And then obviously John Tufoil goes down and Bolter goes down and it just wasn't quite functioning. But geez, we missed some absolute sodas.
Look, basically, that's what the whole game day thread was like. But I'm just going to finish. I actually stopped reading a bit into the third quarter, and this is the post that I'm going to finish off on. And he's a mate, so he's not going to mind me highlighting this. But Tugger, you've got to be better than this. I'd rather 10 Kelly Underwoods than one of him. I'm not sure what the one of him is, but 10 Kelly Underwoods, mate, brutal call. So that's my analysis of the game right there. That's as good as I got.
Look, it wasn't the best game from a stat from a result wise, but what I did like to see, and I think what a lot of people would have liked to have seen, even though it maybe didn't work as well as we'd have liked in the totality of the game, but Morris Rioli Jr. started the midfield from the get go, from the first bounce. I think Taj Houghton in there at one stage. He might have been. Seth Campbell made some centre bounce appearances. I think Sonzi got one or two. So we actually were able to give some other centre bounce attendances to other players. And look, I know a lot of that comes on the back of Tim Taranto being out, which I think if we all had a chance, we would rather Tim Taranto playing than not. But it was good to give them some exposure in the midfield. And I think we need to see more of that in these last few games. And I think CB will probably dig into maybe seeing this a little bit earlier on in the season. They didn't want to do it for whatever reason. And on Hopper as well, I don't know if Hopper was fully okay after he took a pretty big head knock late in the game, or early in the game, sorry. And I know he obviously must have passed concussion tests and everything like that. But yeah, he didn't look well. And yeah, to your point, Nick, Taj did win the most centre clearances for us. He had 3 centre bounce attendances, won 2 centre clearances, and that was a team high. So not great from a club perspective of that number. But very exciting for him. And he even had a nice little tap over the head, I think, to Jack Ross, it might have been early in the game as well. And he looks awesome, CB. I mean, I think Taj Houghton, we are going to love watching this kid play. And I love that we've seen a bit more of him in the midfield. We've seen some more minutes, but he is a special talent.
We look, again, I mean, there's dirty word potential. I mean, there's nothing for this kid right now. There's nothing, but upside is there. So, really exciting. Again, the flip side is it just shows you how much we are missing Tim Taranto in the middle a little bit as well, that extra big body and grunt. So, you know, next week we should see Broad, Lynch and Taranto all return, which will all be very good inclusions for us and make us a bit more competitive. You know, with 4 going out, at least Lynch comes back in, I guess, which provides a big target. It'll be interesting, the forward line, actually. You'll have Lynch, Bolter and Sims playing forward, which will be an interesting mix.
Well, Harry Armstrong's down there too. So Harry Armstrong had his first game back. And well, yeah, I thought he battled manfully against Mac Andrew, who, whilst not big in frame, is a very, very gifted athletically type of player. Good jumper, good reader of the ball, good spoiler. And yeah, some of the marks that Armstrong took on him, where he just really out-muscled him, was really good. And I was really pumped for him to get a goal too. I thought that was well-deserved for his comeback game.
Well, I think schoolyard pick, it'll be out of Sims and Armstrong who holds their spot then next week, I reckon, because I reckon Bolter will go second ruck.
So Ford's going to be out anyway with the knee. But, yeah, it could be. I think you could do Bolter as a second ruck for sure.
Well done.
Jonty, I think I thought the back line actually stood up really well too. Again, I know we conceded, you know, quite a few points, 107 points, but with the amount of easy entry the Gold Coast were having as the game wore on, I thought the guy stood up tall. I thought Vlossen had another really, really nice game. It's interesting, isn't it, that we're a week and a half later after talking about Vlossen and the lack of recognition for AA, and now it kind of feels like it's everywhere that his name's up in lights and in contention.
Yes. Yeah, agree. And justifiably. Unfortunately, Birdman, Dad's birthday took priority. My son's game took priority, and life just gets in the way sometimes. So here's what it is.
Oh, there we go. So Taranto rates higher than Horn Francis this year. Interesting one for Kane Corns. Then I'm sure that he'll be all across that. But yeah, that is pretty much as we can talk about with the Gold Coast games. One of those burn the tapes. We knew we were going to have some ups and downs this year. And look, it's honestly a little bit disheartening and disappointing to see people trying to chop Uzo's head off for that type of game when, you know, we're obviously all talking him up a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, those games were going to happen. and we've only got a handful of players to pick from. So, yeah, not all bad, but wasn't great. We move on to the St Kilda game this week, though. But we did have a VFL game.
There's a question here from Bammy. He says, very disappointing the way the blight has been handled by the club. He had his chance and he didn't take it, and Young has taken his chance, so I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't really think that Blight did too much wrong. Like, the game he was dropped from, I'm not sure he had that bad of a game, to be honest. Yeah, I think there's a bit more happening behind the scenes on that one.
Possibly.
And I know there's... I guess the problem is that we've got 6 or 7 key position defenders fighting for 3 spots. So it is tricky, but I don't think that he did a hell of a lot wrong. But yeah, there must be something else. Must be something else happening in some way, shape, or form.
What's not soft? I wouldn't.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
The VFL game of the weekend was up in Gold Coast as well. The Suns did beat us by 17 points. Again, I don't know how much of this is to do with maybe some of the personnel or lack of personnel that we've got left in the VFL. It does get tested eventually. But looking for some of the AFL listed players, I'll start off with a VFL listed player. Harry Scott, another 25 disposals, 6 marks, 4 tackles, 4 clearances. It's going to be really interesting to see what we do in this space, even at the national draft or if he lasts to the mid-season draft. He just seems to be putting up big numbers week in, week out, and I dare say he will be on the radar of a few AFL clubs. Josh Gibkiss was the first highest listed AFL player, 14 disposals, 3 marks, 1 tackle. So he's kind of working his way back into it. He was named emergency, I believe, it was this week or last week. So he might not be far away.
Yeah, Blight. Blight had 14 disposals.
He's equal 14. Okay, yeah. Must have been alphabetical order. Blight, he did got a goal, 5 marks, 2 hit out. So he's having to do some makeshift ruck work as well. Cozzy, 12 disposals, 6 marks, 3 tackles, 2 hit outs. We don't actually have any actual ruckman in our VFL team. Hayes Brown's out. Kalina's out. Samson Ryan's not there. Sims was playing AFL. AFL. Fawcett's out. So we're pretty much running with them. LaFau's out. We're running with a makeshift ruck department at the moment at the VFL. So the credit to them for having a dip. We've asked to put their hand up to go in there. Reuben Hansen is another name who I see with 4 hit outs. But I think the story of the VFL was young Sam Grill, who is a draft prospect for this year that we have shown some interest in. He plays for Oakley Chargers, I believe. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. He's played in the recent Champs Carnival as well. Probably didn't have a great chance, if I'm being honest. His kick-to-handball ratios were very skewed towards handballs. But funnily enough, like when I say skewed, I mean 90% handballs, 2%. Like, it was crazy the amount of handballing he was doing. But interestingly, for the VFL game you played for us on the weekend, he had 16 kicks and 2 handballs. So I'd much rather that ratio. 6 marks, 5 tackles, so 18 disposals in total. And I thought that was a really good performance and return from Sam Grill. He's got some good pace. So he did play a few years ago on halfback, and he has now been integrated into the midfield at Coates League level. So he's going to be one that we're going to be looking at in the draft. He will definitely be in calculations for either of our 2 picks. If it was me personally, I would be happy to take him and Josh Lindsay. That would be my 2 picks. But good to see them give a game to a kid. We remember last year, CB, watching Jagger Smith and Finn O'Sullivan running around the VFL. Whether it's for us or for whoever else, it's such a good concept that these potential draftees can play VFL games and actually show their wares at a VFL level.
Yeah, agree. And even Josh Dunkley way back when was playing VFL for us before he got drafted to the Dogs. We had him right under our nose all that time.
Yep. He was good. He was good. What else we got? Oh, so the other one that was interesting that kind of came out last week as well was actually more trade-related that I thought we would get everyone's thoughts on. So this is the first that I'd heard of this. I'm not sure if it was the same for you either, CB. But we had been linked to Malcolm Roses from the Gold Coast Suns as someone who could be of interest for the club. He's not getting any game time in the senior side for the Suns. And he's a small forward type, very lively. And funnily enough, he kicked 4 goals against us on the weekend in the VFL. He had 18 disposals, 7 marks, 1 tackle, 1 clearance. Looking at his stat numbers, it's like he transformed his game from being a small forward more to a midfielder as well. So I think maybe his numbers or his output could be a little bit higher. In terms of what it would cost, given that he's not playing and that he's clearly out of favour, I'm not sure what his contract status is like. I'm assuming it would be somewhat of a token third-round pick. Have you heard much about Roses, and have you got any thoughts about bringing him across at all?
Only what I've read online and the commentary that everybody else has seen. But it doesn't seem that he's he fits probably no dickhead policy. It doesn't seem like he's a loose unit, and just fits that he needs an opportunity. And given the stage where our list is at, you know, if it puts further depth, further pressure on spots, I think he'd be a handy inclusion for sure.
Okay, so he's out of contract this year. And no, John, we don't have a pick this year. It'd have to be a future third or something like that. That's just me spitballing ideas. I don't really know what that would be looking like. My initial thought, where's the comment gone? Ashley, I was kind of along your train of thought, do we have enough small forwards already? But then the more I kind of looked at the numbers, the more I feel like that either Rosa would be used as a midfielder or, I don't know, winger midfielder, or it means someone like Seth Campbell maybe does get a bit more of an upgrade, or Morris Jr. does get more of an upgrade into more midfield minute time. So that means Rosa could slip in and play that forward role. But I must admit, I did think the same thing initially, but he's clearly got skill, clearly knows what the goals are. I mean, I did see someone on Twitter say, we don't need someone like Rosa. And I said, well, we could surely do with 4 goals right about now, as we had only kicked 1 to that point in time. But
a guy who kicks 4-2, considering we support a team who kicked what, 1 goal, what, for the whole game?
1 goal, 8, I think we had. I think we'll take his 4 goals and we'll bank him.
Couldn't do with that type of kicking in our forward line, mate. We'd rather kick him out in the belly of the ball.
Yeah, it could be it could be right. It could be a second or a third round. It's just, and it's interesting because Richmond and Gold Coast have a relatively good working relationship too. So yeah, maybe we just try and get the job done and bring him over. But I've not really heard of any other players coming our way. Callaway has actually been doing some really good things again for Sturt. I think he had about 27 disposals, a couple of goals, 5 marks the other day. And Archie Daffy had a really good game last week too for Geelong College. I think he kicked 4 goals from the midfield, including a goal that won the game for him very late in the last 30 seconds. So yeah, we'll try and find some footage of that. But that's the only trade stuff I had. I guess we'll take a look at the St Kilda game now. It's a big game because they've kind of saved a couple of games that they were probably looking like losing at various stages, including the one against the Kangaroos on the weekend just gone. For them, though, I guess from the outside looking in, all the hype and all the talk is about Wanganeen Malira, and he's a seriously good player. And I'm not entirely sure how we're going to stop him, but he just seems to find the ball at will and is extremely damaging as well. So I'm not sure whether he'll play midfield or whether he'll play halfback, wing, whatever it might be, but he is an absolute jet.
He's coming off another 36 disposal game. And his disposal efficiency was 58%. So racked it up. But yeah, 3 marks, 1 tackle. He's going to command a fair pay packet. There's no doubt about it. But the kid's a jet. I've liked him from the get-go. And I just think I don't know how you would stop him, to be honest. I think he's that hot right now. It's like, how did you stop Dusty back when he was going up? You couldn't, right? So there's some blokes when they're hot, there's nothing you can do.
What about from our changes perspective? So we've obviously got Jonty Fall, who will miss because of the medial injury with the knee. Thankfully, not worse. Tom Lynch is now available. Tim Taranto, we assume, will come back in and be available. And was there one other? Was there someone else?
Yeah, Brody should be back.
Brody. Yeah, Nathan Broad will come back. So Fall for Lynch, we'll put a tick on that one straight away. Do we squeeze the other ones in?
I reckon Armstrong will stay and Sims will go out, but Bolter will be the second ruck. I really think that.
I think we almost have to do that to help the VFL too. Like, I know it's not all about helping the VFL, but they are a chance to play finals, and we do have yeah, Bolter, who can ruck relief as well. I agree, and it seems they had a fair crack at it. And I think Harry obviously missed a large chunk of footy during the year, so it would be good to see him hold his spot.
And Brody coming in, I reckon Trainer just looks sore. The poor kid. We know he's playing crook. He could actually do with a breather. Now, whether they go, they'll put him a sub, I don't know, because they really like him and rate him. Don't know. But to me, I'd give Trainer a breather, and I'd actually give Trainer a breather and have Brody come in.
I think if we can afford to give him a rest, it would be ideal. Do we think, is Gibkiss edging closer to having his hand put up to play, do you think? Or is it not this game?
He'll play one before the end of the season. I just don't know if it's this game.
Yeah. I think for this game, I would rather go with that more known quantity in terms of Broad. I don't think I'd want to then upset the apple cart too much more in defence, given it's been probably our strong suit for bulk of the year.
It's a tough one too, because clearly, from all the commentary and everything we read and saw, it was a down day for the club, wasn't it? on Saturday. So it's not like you're saying, oh, you know, a couple of guys were bad, and everyone was like, hey, it just read that apart from Houghton, Vlost, and a couple of others, most of our players were well down, and Dan Curvis looks buggered. He looks so tired from what I'm seeing.
Well, how many games has he missed this year? It can't be many.
He hasn't.
Has he played every game? He missed one. No, he missed the first
game. He had knee soreness. He missed Essendon.
Yeah, we put Samson Ryan in for that one. So, look, I'm not sure the plan all along would have been to play him for every game of the year, given his age and the way he plays, more importantly. Like, he's a bit of a bash and crash type ruckman. He desperately needs a rest, I reckon, but I just can't see it happening. But in terms of, I'm just looking at the Saints lineup. Mason Wood, every time we play Mason Wood, whether it's for North Melbourne, whether it's for St Kilda, has season best game. To be fair to him, he has had a relatively good stint at St Kilda. I will give him credit. Jack Higgins, and we talk about Nank. He's now going to have to come up against Rowan Marshall, who is a very, very big, brutal ruckman in his own right. There's just no one we can rest Nank for. So we're just going to have to back him in. And Jones Racing, I agree. I think it's going to be Nank and Ruck, Nank and Bolt having to do the ruck. And Nick, this is why I'm worried, because Marshall does always have a relatively good outing against
us. To put Marshall's form into perspective, last weekend he kicked one goal, one, had 24 disposals, 6 marks, 5 tackles, 32 hitouts. That's a fair game.
Yeah. Yeah. He does it all.
But I think it's also, I know we talk about their wings. Where is he? My man. Brad Hill's like our steel side bottom. He seems to enjoy playing Richmond. So we've got to put a bit of time into him, because his use of the space on the wings and his pace and his field kicking is excellent. So if we don't put work into a guy like Hill, we could be in a bit of problem, have a few problems as well. So the Saints, like I said, their ladder position doesn't really justify some of the talent that's on the park. It's, I guess, sometimes it does come down to the way they're coached a bit too, I think. But I think they will have a fairly offensive mindset against us this weekend.
Yeah, agree. It's going to be another one of those games that they're going to come into it firmly believing that they should be well-placed to win this game. Jack McRae in the midfield for them, and Hunter Clark. Obviously got Wanganeen Malira. Yeah. I mean, I think we're just going to go toe-to-toe with them, don't we? There's no point. I think it would be crazy to even ask Jack Ross to try and tag Wanganeen Malira. I think it's almost a team defence type. I don't know how you do that, but...
The one thing that Lyon does well, he can shut games down pretty quickly. So initially, even if it starts out a shootout and we're competing well with him, he will have the ability to really clog that game up and make it an absolute poo fest. So he has that lever, coaching wise, to pull as well, which can detract from the spectacle. So
do we think we can still keep up the attacking ball movement that we've seen. Even in the Gold Coast game, we did see, like, I could see the intent and what they were trying to do. They just couldn't execute it. Can we get back to being able to execute it at a bit more of a frequent level against a St Kilda team rather than us struggling to do it against the top four side?
Got to remember, the Gold Coast ground is a lot more tight and compacted. MCG's got more space for us to try and run and carry. So you got to keep that. The MCG suits the way we play. So like I said, I don't see why Uze would try and change it now. They'll try and run and gun it as best they can and play quick. That's how I think they'll go. And they should. They should just play a have a go.
When's the last time we would have played St Kilda at the G? Does anyone know that in chat? Maybe it's not as far back as what I think, but just off the top of my head, it feels like it's a long time. But maybe it wasn't.
I thought it was last year. Did we last year? It's been of recent times, yeah.
It's not been often, that's for sure. Taru, do you reckon he plays? I laugh because of just the post on the board. But look, their backline: Wilkie, Caminiti, Stocker, Sinclair. I'm not gonna use Malira, Wangani Malira, because they did have him listed as centre half back, but he's not gonna play there. How do we go about making sure that these guys don't have too much of an influence on the game with intercept marking and rebounding? Like, I know that we didn't kick a big score last week, but in the two games prior, it started to feel like we were lowering our eyes a bit more and becoming a little bit less predictable. Like, we weren't just bombing it in all the time like we were when Lynch comes back in or was playing. Are we going to revert back to just dumping it in long, or can we stay disciplined enough to lower the eyes and keep trying to hit targets?
Well, hopefully Bolter, that's where Bolter and Armstrong can play higher and Lynch plays behind him. Does that make sense? I just think we will try and play the Collingwood. How we played Collingwood is how we'll try and play this, which was quite quick. And, it'll be interesting because we took more out of the game with low, hard, quicker entries into the forward line.
Yeah,
but Lynch does slow us down, but he still have two quick blokes around him. And like I said, they can't, with two big blokes, they can't ignore both. So Lynch will take one of their big blokes. They can't just put it on a 10-game kid now. So, we'll see how we go.
There we go. Last game at the G versus the Saints was 2023. Played him there only twice since 2018. Wow, that's quite incredible, to be honest. How has that even worked? It's the Lynch coming back. I mean, obviously he's got to come back in structurally, and we talk about it a little bit, but to have that experienced body down there, I think, is paramount and very important for us. But what we then lose is a bit more nimbleness and speed up forward. And I look back and think about the games earlier in the first half of the season when he was playing, and the ease at which opposition defenders could maneuver the ball out of the back line without really any pressure, because he's always the last attacker for us. I don't know whether we need to reposition him or redeploy him somewhere else in those systems to make sure there's someone with a bit more speed that can try and shut down those exit routes. It just means we're gifting the opposition almost 70 metres outside of 50 uncontested, and that lets them set up the ground and do whatever they want.
But we're also a quicker team since Lynch last played. We've sped up our ball movement.
True.
In our position. We are playing a lot smarter. So, no, I think it's a genuine 50-50 game.
No, I think so too.
We would just be stupid if we didn't talk about their strengths and how are we going to shut down Wangadine Malaria, like the kids white hot, or Ryan Marshall is a very good ruckman. They're on balls pretty good, And you've got to remember Higgins. As a small forward, he's in the top 5-6 goal scorers in the league,
So, and he might be the one. I assume that King's not. Is he out injured for them? I'm not across their injury list, but looking at their forwards from last week, there was Brad Hill, Max Hall, Max Heath, Higgins, Owens, and Cooper Sharman. So, again.
Yeah, King didn't play last week.
I feel like we go into this game, if that's their same forward line for this week, roughly, I feel like we go into that backing in our back line to do another good job. Oh, there you go, King out for the season. Thank you. I just haven't had a look at their injury list. But you would feel confident in our back line to be able to account for those forwards, wouldn't you?
Oh, 100%. And keep on, like Ben Miller, pardon me, Ben Miller's been exceptional this year. He has been absolutely fantastic. So no, our defense, like the speed at which we're using the ball. I mean, again, short. Previously, the last 3 weeks before this weekend's game, Short, Banks, Brown, all those blokes, they were smoking. They were playing some seriously good football. Quick, Vlosten's in. Oh, he's just Nick Vlosten. He plays like this every game, every year, you know.
Is
So
he close to
no,
career best
defensively, we
form?
stack up very well.
And Dan, to Dan's point, I think this pretty much sums up what we need to do. The pressure needs to be on. And I thought it was relatively on last week. It's just the other team was a lot better at it. But this will be a game where both teams will be eyeing each other off as a game that they should be able to win. But our forward line, look, I do like our forward line having a bit more maturity in it. So you would be happy to keep Bolter forward in this example, and you would have Sims out, Bolter, Lynch, Armstrong as your key forwards. You go like the old triangle.
100%. And then you have, your Green. I'll go Paul Rich. You have your Greens, your Campbells, your Riolis, with an S on the end. Have those small blokes around them nipping around, you know. Taj Hotton. So again, Taj Hotton gets a crack. So where, the Gold Coast got stars and all of a sudden this team just backs off a little bit. So Taj might be able to find those gaps and have a bit more of an impact as well, you know. Like he's building beautifully, Taj Houghton. So we've got some really good weapons ourselves. And I think if we run and gun against them, we're certainly a big chance, big show.
Now, we're assuming that Tim Taranto is coming back in. We have no
Yes.
reason to believe that he won't. How do you think that's going to impact the other CBAs from these other youngsters? Like, we obviously did see Houghton and we did see Sonzi and Morris Jr. start in the midfield. That won't happen if Taranto comes back in. Can we still find ways to blend him in as the game goes on? Or in a game like this where we think we can win, are we just going to go the A graders or our perceived A team? And just stick them in there and let them go for it.
I think they'll go with. You remember that when Prestia, Taranto, and Hopper in, that's we won two in a row before Taranto went out. Yeah, and we compared. So I think they'll just back him in. That's the Richmond way. They back their blokes in. So they'll back Prestia, Taranto, and Hopper in that midfield with Nankervis.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there has to be a passing of the guard at some stage, doesn't there? Not necessarily this year, but maybe it's next year. I don't know. I'm just
Well,
trying to rack my brain and see how it all is going to work because you've still got Sam Lawler to come back into that midfield next year. Although Sam Lonergan pretty much said that they view him as like a 60-40 mid forward, kind of like what Dusty was, I guess, which I think it might have been you was saying that's how you wanted him played as well.
yeah. So look, I mean, the end of the season is a different conversation again with guys like Prestia, McIntosh. I think Lynch gets another year. I would have had him in the maybe basket, but I think he gets another year. So there's some interesting decisions coming down the line as to what they see, who the replacements are, and what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I'm pretty excited for this game. I think, yeah, we should all be up and about. And I agree with Jay Tiger. And I think the club will do no less. They've absolutely played to win every game this year, which is good. Like, as a supporter, I want to see the players have a crack week in, week out. You know, the draft stuff is all secondary. That'll all take care of itself just with natural, the way things play out with wins and losses. But yeah, I just want to see them have a red hot crack.
See, so to me, so the betting markets, I'm not going to say what the odds are because we don't really want to promote gambling on the show. But it seems generous if you're that way inclined.
Right, okay. This is an interesting one. John reckons if Uzo doesn't win eight games next season, he's gone, in his opinion. I reckon that's extraordinarily tough, John. Not going to lie. I reckon that's everyone's entitled to their view, and that's cool. I reckon that's a really harsh judgment on Uzo.
We went through his parallels with Damien Hardwick the first 2 years, only 2, 3 weeks ago, and I don't have a crystal ball that good.
And I
I
think we've
wouldn't have
definitely
thought so.
overachieved this year as well. So we may see same results wise next year. And then it might start to improve from then on out. But
I've heard, if anything, I'm hearing contract extension not contract deletion.
Did the same thing. We're looking at giving him extension. And there was an interview with Shane Dunn the other week, and he was fairly glowing, pretty much saying that we're doing exactly as what they had discussed in meetings and stuff like that. I think this is a fair call, Birdman. 15 should be the aim next year. I mean, you want to see incremental improvement all over the park, I guess. Like, for me, you'd want to start seeing the ball movement happening for a lot more frequent periods during games, a lot more intensity and effort. You want to be able to see the average score. Even you don't want to see too many games in the 40 points next year. You want to sort of see that be 60s and 70s on average. Just the small incremental improvements. What worries me, we said it before, second year Blues does worry me from the amount of youngsters we've got perspective, but maybe we'll somehow bypass, I don't know.
I'll say this if you want to talk about, eight games and he's gone. Hey, how's his second the coaches at Carlton working out for him? You know, that type of instability with that ruthless mindset where I don't see it. Sorry, I don't see it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all goes next year. Win more games, stop getting thrashed. Unfortunately, I really do think the thrashings will still happen next year as well. And maybe even sometimes the year after too. It's just until all these young kids get to that 50, 60, 70 games mark, it's going to still have a bit of pain. But that's okay. And hopefully we get some players back. But with that being said, let's get a final tip, including margin. Send them through in chat and we'll pop a few up on the screen. CB, who's winning this one and by how much?
Richmond? Actually, well, first of all, what's the weather?
I haven't checked the forecast. Change Racing. Tigers by 150 points. I like it.
That's ambitious. That's going to be sunny. Sunny and 15, so it's going to be a clear, good marking day. I'll say the Tigers by 8 points. No, 9 points. I'll go 9 points.
Geez, the Saints might get a bit sunburn out there outside of the roof if it's a bit of sun out there. Better be
Nick
careful.
Vlosten. Nick Vlosten won't want a sunscreen up.
He'll have to get the zinc out. He'll be covered in it. I'll say Tigers by 18. Don't care how, just 18. Any win's a good win.
I think we can actually... I think we're more of a chance against North Melbourne, but I do think we are a very good chance to win this game. So we said last week we're due for a down game. We've had it. I'd expect with the three players coming back in, there'll be a bit of a bounce and we'll have a bit more size and a bit more direction about us around the ground. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's what you want to see. You want to see them still try and execute what they've been trying, but we hope to see it come off a bit more against a lower-ranked side. And we've seen recently that we've looked and performed a lot better against sides that are nearer to us on the ladder. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. And we get some personnel back as well, which is obviously very, very important. But last thoughts on Smiley. I think we've just got to... It's frustrating that we've not seen him this year, but... Definitely not writing him off. And to try and clutch at straws a little bit here in a lot of ways, it's almost like a new draft pick next year, as stupid as that might sound. But he's just a unique body size and height. It's, like I said before, it's like expecting Josh Tracy from Fremantle to run 12K as a midfielder. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think the club's learning a little bit along the way with how to treat someone of his body shape and size. He's learning a little bit on how to handle his body. I'd love to see him play VFL this week. And I think the AFL dream's probably done for this year, unless they do a surprise selection the last couple of weeks. But you'd want to see one or two games first. But I'm still backing him in. And as is the club, I mean, you see Sam Lonigan's report. They're super pumped about what he's going to be able to do once it all sort of comes together body-wise for him. So I do think that we will see a different-looking Josh Smiley when he even takes the field for the next VFL game to what we saw in his first stint. So
I think from a supporter point of view, we just want to see the kid playing. That's all we want is we just want to see the kid playing. So, we're positive for this kid to play. So we want him to play.
And this is a good point too, that Dan Curtin missed most of the first season. He's obviously a ginormous wingman for Adelaide. And it takes time for these to get used to a workload of a body of that size. I cannot stress that enough. So now I'm looking forward to seeing him get a few games in the back part of the year. But, oh, should we talk about it quickly? Tash Houghton has to be a sneaky for the Rising Star next year. I know it's early days, but he's eligible next year. He has to be on everyone's radar for sure.
I don't want him nominated this year.
It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters if he's nominated. Okay. You can get nominated twice. You just can't get nominated twice in the same year. So there's no way for him to not be eligible for next year, okay. Which is good. I think it's 8 or 9 games, I think, JD. I'm not too sure specifically, but yeah, you can get nominated twice as long as it's in separate years. So he will be, I think he will be a raging favorite for the Rising Star next year. He's seriously impressive.
And he's hoping, on top of, if Sims goes back down into the VFL program, Jasper Alga's another one that comes back, hopefully, from his head knock week in the reserves as well. We want that young fellow to go well. He's a great kid. So really hoping he can come in and have an impact as well. So hopefully it's, 2 or 3. And again, until we get the reports on Smile, it'd be nice to see him get a half in as well. Hopefully there's 4 players coming back into the VFL program to help the boys out.
They desperately need it. They are running very thin down there at the VFL. So hopefully we can get some firepower back and we can get them back up and running because there's still a chance to play finals, which is awesome. So thank you for your time tonight, CB. Much appreciated. And thank you to everybody for tuning in tonight. We appreciate the love and support. Make sure you jump into the conversations on Twitter and Facebook, wherever else you see us. And, yeah, we will reconvene on Monday and hopefully we can talk about a high-scoring game and probably, we'll say hopefully a win, but probably a win. We'll say probably a win. So until next time, go Tigers.
Where's EJ? Where's Grok? Go Tigers.
I know. Oh, it's on.